The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. It is Thursday, April the 30th. I can't believe we're almost into May. And as everything has been shut down in the country, we're slowly starting to see things open up a little bit. So what's that mean for golf in general, for your area? Well, it kind of goes county by county and state by state, but hopefully you're getting out and getting some exercise, and maybe golf is part of that. Certainly from the PGA Tour standpoint, all signs still point towards their restarting at the Charles Schwab Challenge, and that'll be June the 11th, so it's not that far away that we'll have PGA Tour golf being played, if it all still holds up. I guess you have to qualify everything these days because nothing is that certain, but that would be coming up in early June, that we'll have the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, and then on and on throughout the rest of the year as the tournament has been readjusted. But back to golf, we're hoping in the near future. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk with our good friend Earl Forsey, the voice of PGA Tour Radio, about what he expects to happen on the PGA Tour in the upcoming year and when they expect to get back on the job, him doing the play-by-play for PGA Tour events. And I got a hunch that the Washington Redskins might come into play in their draft somehow, some way, when we talk with Mr. Forsey. So that's coming up in just a little bit as well. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios, joins us. Frank, how you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Ready to, ready to Nashville? Get the tour. Nashville's good. Nashville's not going to open up like everybody else. Our illustrious mayor, Mr. Magoo, is who I like to call him, You know, this city's been so poorly run for so long that we're so far in debt. They raised the property taxes. They proposed in the new budget this week. This week, the mayor says, well, we're going to have massive layoffs unless we get a 32% property tax increase. 32%. Wow. Hello.
Which is about 30 times what it normally is, right? It's normally a 1% or 2%.
Exactly. Bump. That's just craziness. Yeah. So, you know, remember the movie Young Frankenstein? When they were going up to the castle because of the monster with the torches and the pitchforks and the rakes. And that's what it's going to look like toward City Hall.
That'll be soon. Nashville to City Hall?
Unbelievable. Let's just raise taxes, you know. Everybody's out of work. And anyway, I'm off my I'll get off that.
A little soapbox.
It's crazy. Anyway.
The times we live in, though, right? These
it's
are the
tough.
Times. I mean, there are tough challenges for everybody. The PGA Tour, notwithstanding, but also NFL, who just held their draft and had to do it virtually. But baseball and NHL, when do they get restarted? Can they restart? I mean, there's so many uncertainties about what's happened in this. And the repercussions of shutting everything down, which I don't know if you can argue with it or anything else. People certainly argue with maybe some of the extent of it. But now the repercussions of being shut down fall on people going, okay, unemployment is sky high. And as you said, how are you going to replace revenue that's been lost for cities and states? And it's a quagmire.
$30 million.
I never wanted to be a politician to begin with, but I definitely would not want to be a politician now and try to maneuver my way through these problems.
Yeah, they're going to look like a Target advertisement because they're going to have a Target on their backs.
Yeah.
30 million people are out of work in this country. 30 million. This is it. This is 1929, 1930, 31, 32 all over again. And we're going to see some tough stuff happen going forward. But Nashville's revenue, by the way, is over 55%+ of Davidson County, which is Nashville, is sales tax. Sales tax.
Oh, is that right?
Uh-huh.
It's just been non-existent.
Hello. Yeah. It's over. It's just dead.
Yeah. And, so, I mean, the repercussions of it, I mean, I don't know what else could have been done, well, and I'm not suggesting or anybody else's, but here you got to face the music, right? Now that you're trying to get back.
Speaking of facing the music, we're going to get back to true country music in Nashville, Tennessee, because everybody's going to be crying and their cheap beer. Old Milwaukee Light. liquor sales up over 50% in Nashville, Tennessee. Davidson County.
Is that right?
50%. There are a lot of drunk rednecks crying in their beer.
Business.
Hey, I'm one of them. It's just crying in my Glenn Levitt. But tough, man. It's tough. And, of course, the tour's coming back into Dallas, where you live, and a lot of
Fort Worth proper. But, But it's again, nobody's saying that it's not going to happen at that time. And that would be in the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial, and that would be the restart, the first tournament back. You remember way back in March, which seems like
6 months ago, Frank. If you look at the calendar, it doesn't seem that far. But that's where you were at the Players' Championship when it all shut down after the first round.
Yeah.
And then since then, the Valspar and the World Golf Champion, the Dell Technology Match Play, Valero, Zurich, Wells Fargo, on and on, AT&T, Byron Nelson, have all been canceled, wiped off the schedule. And so the restart, being the Charles Schwab Challenge, is still on the docket, if you will. Yeah. And so we'll see if that'll happen. The LPGA Tour stops here every year, and they made an announcement that their event that they have for the women here in Dallas, I think for the last 6-7 years that we've had the tournament here, is normally in October. They're moving it to early December, and they're going to start that. It'll be right before the women's U.S. Open, which will be down in Houston.
Yeah.
So it'll be back-to-back from Dallas, and then they'll go to Houston the next week in December for that. But so they've had to, like everybody else, reschedule and move their things around. But, you know, good news, I guess, for LPGA fans, just like PGA fans, that you at least will have it here locally. And something. I think they're expecting to have fans at the LPGA by December. Of course, at Colonial, there will be no fans allowed. They still don't know media-wise, Frank. We talked about that. They don't know what media or how many media they're going to allow into the facilities there to cover the event, which I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to want to cover because it'll be the first golf we've seen in, you know, months. So,
well, it depends on who still, can, what are the restrictions on travel into the state of Texas at that point, too.
Yeah.
Obviously, they'll drop the 14-day quarantine thing. Quarantine, but, you know, speaking of LPGA, and, you know, one of our sponsors, the French Lick Resort, has one of the original sponsors of this show. The Symetra Tour, it was announced today that the Symetra Tour event, the Donald Ross Classic, has been canceled for 2020 and moved to 2021.
Right?
So now the French
Lick,
it's closed, and they employ 80-90% of the entire county, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The West Baden Springs Hotel, the French Lick Resort, and the golf courses, Pete Dye, Donald Ross, Tom Bendelow, all that, Valley, Lynx. Golf's still open. They're going to start opening 50 rooms and rotate them. Okay, a 72-hour, you check into 201, you check out, that room's closed off now for 72 hours after total cleaning, and you move to other rooms. So 50 rooms rotating every 3 days. And so for golf groups, people that want to come, they'll have special food set up and all that as they reopen. But again, the tournaments are canceled, the Senior LPGA Championship and the Donald Ross Classic.
Which we were going to go to.
Yes, we're going to be working it. We're going to be on the air live doing it.
Yeah.
Jerry Foltz, me, you, Brian Hammonds, Golf Channel guys, we were all hepped up. It was going to be a really cool digital experience, and it'll happen next year. So thanks to French Lick as a sponsor. And another sponsor of ours, I'll just go ahead and talk about Club Corp. You know, your club's been open. My club's been open. A lot of the Club Corp properties where it's available have been open for limited play, basically, and just, you know, serving some food outside. Can't sit, have to eat it in your cart, take off, one per cart sort of thing. Club Corp will start reopening now. So thanks to Club Corp for being such a great sponsor, and we're going to do everything we can do to just promote the hell out of our sponsors going forward because they've stuck with us. So,
and Club Corp also made a big announcement. I think we talked about this on the last show, but the Byron Nelson moving from Trinity Forest, where it had been for the last couple of years, I guess if you want to say experimentally, a new golf course, very different and everything, and the experiment did not go as well as they had expected. Bad weather, really the big part of this, but they're moving from Trinity Forest. And they're going to Craig Ranch, which is up in McKinney, north of Dallas, like suburbs up north of Dallas. And it's a Club Corp golf course there, a PGA club that Craig Ranch was built probably 15 years ago, 12 years, something like that. Yeah. And David Craig is the developer, named after him, named after himself.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like Trump. He puts his name on everything here, but a beautiful, beautiful facility. So next year you'll be seeing the AT&T Byron Nelson at a brand new course, at least for the next few years, and then eventually everybody expects that they'll move it to the courses that are being constructed. Construction continues at the new headquarters for PGA of America
in Frisco,
in that same area, in Frisco, not too far from there, and eventually everybody anticipates that the Byron Nelson will be moved there. It also is already on the docket for two Ryder Cups and two PGA championships in the next like 12 years, 15 years, something like that they've got. So that's good news. That's exciting stuff. But, again, that's a little bit down the road. For right now, golf courses are starting to slowly come back into play. Yeah. Some places, rurally, if you will, I know probably in Tennessee, but certainly in Texas, never closed down. If you went outside of the city or the county of Dallas, they were open and doing their social distancing and one person per cart and all that stuff too, but they never closed down. As a matter of fact, some of them have done more business than they've ever done in March and April in their history because people had to find a place to play and they could go there and play, so their clubs might have been closed down. So for some, not many, but for some businesses, it's actually been a pretty good couple of months because they've been able to pick up where other people couldn't facilitate, if you will.
Sure. Well, you know, we ought to take a break, and when we come back, bring in our good friend Earl Forsey from PGA Tour Radio. I'm sure he has a couple of things to say about golf and about 100,000 things to say about the Redskins.
And about COVID and about everything. Yeah, Mr. Positive himself will be giving us his slant on how things are going in D.C. He's right there in the meat of the whole situation in D.C., isn't he? Like,
yeah, I think he sent a note to Trump saying, I can make ventilators for you at $47,000 a piece. That's a story in itself. Well, that guy did. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to death. Anyway, we won't go there.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And Earl Forsey, the voice of PGA Tour Radio, will join us. So you're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will be back with Earl Forsey right after this. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, along with Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. And we've been talking about the restart of the PGA Tour, as well as just golf in general. And if you can play golf in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods. And we're now joined by one of our favorite people. And his neck of the woods happens to be kind of the center of what's going on in our country when it comes to Corona and decisions that are being made. And that, of course, is Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, stationed as he has been for, I don't know, Earl, going on, what, your 85th year on the air there in Washington, D.C., and joins us now. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, feels like it sometimes. It's only about, 35 plus now, I guess.
Sounds like he's getting a Corona out of the fridge.
Not quite 85, but just having my morning coffee, the first of many.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, buddy. We didn't even get to get connected down at the Players' Championship. They shut us down so quickly. You and I never had a chance to sit down and visit. So, wow, it's been a while.
It's like everything. It was different that week, and I've been home ever since. We're talking before going on the air, and I've been locally doing my stuff, just working from home, like everybody is here. Nobody except for a producer usually locally at my station, the Fan in D.C. There's usually one person there and everybody else doing stuff from home. So, I mean, I've been busy. I've been on the air 5-6 days a week, but I'm doing it from home. That part of it, we're lucky we can do that kind of stuff. And, most people wouldn't even realize if they were listening that you're coming from home, because all that technology is great now. But so that part of it's been okay. But the players, the whole thing, the way it happened, and I was on locally, my station, talking about it when all this happened, that was a microcosm of what's been going on in the country, really, since then, the last month and a half now, because it's kind of status quo, normal. Everybody shows up. We're all, everything is, it's a normal week to the players, but we knew that's when things started ramping up and there were issues, and you kind of started feeling, probably sports, our industry and everything, like all walks of life, is going to be changing here soon, and maybe there's going to be some cancellations or postponements, that type of thing. But that week was kind of normal until the morning of the Thursday morning of the Players' Championship. I get up, and all this stuff is happening, and the NBA players tested positive, and then the NBA, like blink of an eye, they're shutting down. So from that 24-hour period, and I know Jay Monahan talked about this in his pressures that week when the tour was shutting down and everything, that, in his case, Wednesday night, I guess they're having that, they usually have a kind of like an introductory kickoff dinner that the night before, and kind of a gathering for folks. And that's when he started getting calls from other people and like, look, something's happening here and the NBA is going to be shutting down, et cetera, et cetera. So he was talking about this, that overnight period from Wednesday night into Thursday. And so we show up that things were changing just like minute by minute, hour by hour.
Yeah.
We show up Thursday and, you know, play's begun. And I mean, how long ago does it seem that Hideki Matsuyama shot a 7-under par and led after the opening round? I mean, it's like a completely forgotten. It seems like
a
5 years ago.
You know, he was the boy who was shortchanged in that.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was, you know, 57.
It's kind of one of those lost nuggets, like forgotten things that nobody's ever probably going to remember much. But it's so we show up Thursday and play's beginning. Everything's normal. But as soon as we got there, we heard the word that this tournament's going to continue without fans for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. So that was before we went on the air. The official announcement came as we were coming on the air, but we knew about it then. And then everything, you know, the first round wraps up. It's kind of a normal, what you call, quote, a normal day. And, you know, then the next 2 to 3 hours that night, once we got back, we're having dinner and phones start blowing up. I mean, and I was talking to someone during dinner, and we were all kind of speculating, well, I wonder what's going to happen going forward. That was kind of the talk. And then, you know, someone kind of mentioned, well, you know, I'm still wondering what's going to happen this weekend. And it went from, you know, I wonder what's going to happen Saturday, Sunday, this weekend, to all of a sudden we get the messages that everything's been canceled. It was over. It was completely shut down, which was, even then, still a little bit of a surprise to me that things weren't moving forward. You know, that's where we have come to, and it happened so quickly. So within 24 hours, it went from, I would say, as much as it could have been even back then, kind of a normal week, to completely shut down to where we are now. It was bizarre. And, you know, we go from the opening round to, you know, 8 hours later, 9 hours later, whatever, is making reservations to get back home. And I was home, you know, around noon the next day on Friday, and I've been here ever since.
Yeah, I was at...
It has been a challenging time.
I was there at the Marriott Sawgrass, and then went up to Amelia Island after it shut down, but we were sitting there having cocktails, and the phone goes off, and a lot of players were around, and all their phones are going off, and you're like, uh-oh, what's going on? So, yeah, it was very, very, very strange, and what the funny tongue-in-cheek part of this is that Hideki shoots the 62 to tie the course record, and he's playing unbelievable. Nick Watney, on the other hand, has one of the worst rounds of his life and still gets the same check, the $57,000 check that Hideki Matsuyama got, because they...
Yeah, they just split it evenly.
Cut it in half and split the purse evenly across everybody. So I wanted to get Nick on the show and say, is that the easiest 57 grand you've ever made, Nick?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're shooting a 77?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
It was a different kind of situation, but what else could they have done, and how else could they have handled it? Looking forward, and again, we're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio, to Colonial, if that holds on, the Charles Schwab Challenge. Earl, as far as the golfers are concerned, we've talked to a few different ones in the last few weeks about this, actual players. I'm curious what you think. Is golf different than other sports that are talking about restarting and what they have to do and get prepared and another spring training or training camp? Do you think golf can get restarted and be at a very high competitive level, even if they've been off for a while? It's a different kind of an animal for golf when they come time to play at Colonial?
Well, yes, I think certainly it is, because being an individual sport and being in open outdoor setting, it's, you know, unique for that. You know, you could probably make the case that tennis is a similar sport as well. But so certainly I do think, and isn't that where we are now? Look at different states are doing different things, different cities are, because it's such a unique situation, you know, with what's going on with the coronavirus and these shutdowns, and there's pockets where places are very different. You know, things are the standards have to be different for what's going on. So I think in sports is kind of the same way. And outdoor sports versus indoor sports are a separate category, I think, at this point. And then the individually, when you're looking at sports, I certainly think golf has a much better chance of at least proceeding in some manner than the others, just because it's so unique. Everything's so spread out. It's outdoor, it's individual players. So there's no doubt that, I mean, this is all, the rule book is just being rewritten on everything. that we're doing. And it's certainly in sports. And I think, you know, the plan is we know what the plans are, even with the restart, that there won't be fans, at least right away. And you know, they're going to have policies in place for, you know, even guys just basically in the locker room. And that's the other thing with it's locker rooms, it's gathering places, it's tournament staff in this case. And there are thousands of people that work like all sporting events. So those are the unique circumstances. I'm sure they're still trying to figure out the logistics of that, because you guys know, here's the other thing was, look, with all sports, getting a stadium ready and that type of thing in golf, it's a huge undertaking, and it's a vagabond existence. It's city to city every week. It's not just certain locations, certain stadiums where you could play, or certain city. It's week to week to week, bringing that whole operation. And I know all sports do it, and broadcasters and everything, the stadiums and arenas and that type of thing. But golf, there's such a infrastructure that needs to happen for these tournaments. And we know the stories of places taking months to get ready for a major and that kind of thing, and what it really takes to put one of those tournaments on. And, you know, in this situation where we have, we find ourselves in a lot of places, all those places, you know, many of those maybe have been shut down for a while. If they're not back already, they still are. And just, it's still the great unknown. I'm sure the tour, and I know they do know a lot more about it than I do. And like everybody else is kind of waiting for word, and you know what the plan is, and that's hopefully to restart here in June. But guys, we all know that this changes day by day, and you know, things are looking light now, not just with golf, but baseball still seems optimistic they can get going here soon at some point. We'll see about the NBA, but you know, that could change. By the time I go on to do sportscast this afternoon, that could all change. We know that. That's kind of where we are right now. Just don't make any future plans. And you know what? I don't even know what day it is right now. I woke up today. I thought it was Thursday. I thought it was Wednesday today. It's Thursday. So, you know, it's kind of where we are.
Yeah, it is. You know, just speaking to that, the PGA Tour and the infrastructure that has to be in place just for the function of the tournament itself. No fans, okay? No patrons. Nothing. Just the operational side of it is just incredible. So you're right. They'll probably have to utilize, you know, both locker rooms, women's and men's locker rooms, and spread them out. Player dining will probably be in the clubhouse, main dining room now. So there are a lot of changes that can be made, I think, to accommodate it. Media coverage, PGA Tour Radio, of course, you guys, all of us will cover it. Whether there or not, and then of course Golf Channel and NBC, CBS. That's going to be, you know, here's my question on the TV coverage. What an opportunity to really roll out extra cameras and cameramen and on course interviews and all sorts of things. What do you think?
What do I think? I don't know. And that's going to be, you know, part of this whole plan for the entirety of sports is how do you do it?
Yeah.
You know how you do it? Okay.
Trial and error.
I've been around a while. You know what you do, and I'm not trying to undersell everything. You know what you do? You show up with a microphone or whatever, and you talk.
There it is.
I mean, that's what I've been doing for 35 years. That's kind of what it's like being a news reporter. You know, being a sports guy or a sports broadcaster or play by play. You know what? And it's great when you have the research and all that infrastructure and all the fancy graphics and all the production and everything else. But look at what we saw with the NFL draft.
I loved
this past weekend.
Loved
that. It was kind of cut to its bones, and it's guys at home with, you know, with their families and their kids hanging around the computer. It's kind of what I've been doing. And every once in a while, the beagle barks or Belichick's dog gets on the table. But you know what? There was a charm to it, and it was,
yes.
It was, in the end, it was, you know, the all these teams have these fancy facilities and these huge war room draft rooms and all this stuff and everything. In the end, it was fine. And in some ways, it was better. There's a back to basics kind of element to everything, every business, every aspect of life right now. And, you know, I'm a pretty simple person. Guys, I used to show up with, you know, you have your little All I needed was a seat at press row and a telephone, and that's how I covered sports. And in fact, you know, before computers and everybody had all this information, everything, you show up, and if you do a game, you plug in your little board, and you hope you have power. And if you do, you plug into a telephone line, and you sit down and broadcast the game.
Start talking, and
just start talking and describe what you see. And you know, if you know some of the places around that need some help in doing that, I'm certainly ready, willing, and able to help out. Because
boy, we all are.
That's kind of the approach that I've always taken. And you know, you can overcomplicate things sometimes. That will happen. That will, whatever sport, golf especially too, we'll find a way to make it work. I don't think that's the issue at all.
Well,
if sports are being helped with the way things are now, with nothing going on, we found out with the NFL draft what a huge, you know, because there was nothing happening in it, and people that don't normally watch it were watching. If something's being played, we're going to be there covering it and talking about it. You know, that I think that's for sure.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Let's talk about the NFL draft, and let's talk about, excuse me, our team, the Titans, your team, the Redskins, Tim's team, the Cowboys, and my favorite team, the Buccaneers. I mean, yeah. Gronk's
your new
back,
favorite team.
Well, no, they've always been. I've always been a Buccaneers fan.
Sure.
Always
now,
have.
I didn't know that.
I lived
till
in Tampa
now.
For
that
a
right?
few years, yeah.
Right.
You weren't really hearing that about a month and a half ago, were you?
I didn't hear that.
I've always been a Buccaneers fan. You know,
that Brady guy kind of changed my mind.
And Gronk, and they put together a pretty good draft class.
Well, let's start with the Redskins. What about the Redskins? They had a pretty good draft. They got the number two pick and didn't blow it. I don't think you think with Chase Young, but
no.
Tell us what you think about the draft.
Great pick.
Okay, well, let me just say first, and Tim's going to love this. I love the draft the Cowboys had. I mean, and not, you know, the first two picks. Yeah, after that. But, I mean, things fell into their lap. They got what many guys. Look, a lot of people thought maybe the best receiver there. And everybody had a different opinion. The draft board was crazy because you'd see, you know, one guy have this guy number one. One guy have that guy number five. It was so it's kind of, that was like beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I guess. But I love their draft. The Redskins, look, Chase Young, and I did a whole draft wrap-up Sunday from home, my local station, and just talked for 3 hours about it. It was easy. It took football and the draft and everything. Everybody could have picked Chase Young. People that don't follow football there would have picked him. That's kind of the softball pick. It's the right pick. It's probably the best player in the draft. And I said I use there's the Occam's razor theory where the simplest solution is usually the best solution. That's kind of that pick. Don't overthink it. Don't wonder if Tua's, you know, injury is fine now, or if you should trade down for multiple picks and try to move back up. Just take the best guy. And it's a pretty simple solution. And that was fine. They picked up, I don't know how many people don't follow them specifically, but a couple of receivers early. One guy's kind of a Swiss Army knife. Type player, and then there's a big kid out of Liberty, actually, that they drafted who's terrific, and these guys are probably going to play right away, and who knows, because here's the whole thing. The Redskins have signed, and a lot of teams have done this. I know it usually a big thing, too, is after the draft, they signed tons of guys. The Redskins have signed four players undrafted. That's it, because there's not going to be an opportunity for camps, for guys to win jobs. You are what you are right now, and that's interesting, too, because I wonder how many of these usually, half the draft class, if not more, really doesn't make a team. I'm wondering, we went through this dance. I really wonder how many of these guys that were picked the other night, you know, in all seven rounds are really legitimately going to have a chance to make the team, because there may not be any training camp. You know, there certainly is not going to be off-season work, where really now a lot of those guys do kind of win jobs. It's not training camp or preseason anymore. It's these off-season team activities, the OTAs, and I'll be honest with you, everybody that follows the NFL kind of knew pretty early and became familiar with Terry McLaurin of the Redskins, the receiver they picked in third round last year out of Ohio State. We were hearing in the summer last year that he was really, he's going to play. He's going to play a lot. It was kind of before everything even started. So that's when guys win jobs, and that's probably not going to happen this year, this summer. So how do I feel about the Redskins draft? I think it's kind of a B because that's a no-brainer softball pick. And look, if Chase Young is Lawrence Taylor or, you know, one of these guys with Bosa's or something like that, then it's a great draft. I mean, it's unfair for me to probably to give him a B, but I do that because there's some reaches in there. A couple of those receivers have to hit. They drafted the tackle out of LSU, Sadiq Charles, to be the quote-unquote de facto replacement for the Pro Bowler Trent Williams that they've had kind of firmly entrenched there as their best player in the team for almost a decade, that they traded away this past weekend because he's been unhappy here and didn't play last year. So there's questions whether he is the right guy to be, you know, play the second most important position on the field, and that's the left tackle. And it still comes down to two things. It comes down to the guy they drafted last year, Dwayne Haskins. If they play, he's got to be a first-round caliber quarterback. And number two, it comes down to, for the Redskins and for probably every team in the top four, but for the Redskins, and I said this weekend, their draft, ultimately, the grade on it will come down to a guy that's not on their team that wasn't drafted, Tua Tagovailoa. If he becomes the player that some think and that Miami certainly hopes that he will be, you're going to look back and say, how did you pass on that guy? Or what were you thinking? And now that's not the case, but, you know, history's always rewritten in sports, and that's kind of, that guy will be the key for a lot of teams, not just the Redskins, at least, well, three of them, because Joe Burrow was kind of the softball pick there too. But there's a lot of questions. I like the Cowboys draft a lot. I find it intriguing what Green Bay and Philadelphia did pick. Obviously, Green Bay. This is it was made. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's made for
Aaron Rodgers is blowing up.
And well, you know, and then Philly picks a quarterback too. They, you know, they pick backup for Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, who was kind of considered and early because some considered maybe him a third or fourth round pick. They grabbed him early. I mean, is it to be a kind of the Taysom Hill of their team? Maybe, but you know, that's interesting. Let me just use that word, interesting.
Sure.
And I mentioned this weekend in my show, it's crazy now because we're at a point in the NFL where if you don't have a quarterback, like, you know, the Redskins haven't had, like the Bengals needed, Miami, if you don't have a quarterback, you need to get one. But now it seems teams with quarterbacks are still looking for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers, these are teams where you figure, okay, we're pretty good. We're okay at quarterback. And they went after guys. It's really interesting. And the guy who was number one just a few years ago, who threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, I'm talking about Jameis Winston, he signed for $148,000 bonus. $148,000. I mean, and then Andy Dalton gets released today, not a surprise. And it's crazy. I mean, and all this with the great unknown as to how much will they play, if at all, this year.
Yeah.
Because that you want to start speculating and going through what, you know, these what if scenarios, and it's unfair because, like I said, to start this whole thing, things change minute by minute, but the whole what if college football is not played? What happens in the draft then? What if the NFL isn't played? What if it's delayed? And it's my guess is it's going to be some kind of delay and maybe push back a little bit later, but
college football, you know, Earl, there are a lot of schools out there that depend on that income alone to survive.
But you're talking about, we just discussed golf and players, and you have whatever, 144, 156 a week, whatever. In the NFL, or it's 32 teams. You know, it's 30 in baseball. So that's a lot. And that's, we still see logistically what a massive undertaking is to try to figure something out. How about, you know, 150-some or whatever, how many, whatever it is, you know, Division One programs, the bowl championship series programs, and then you've got the playoff championship teams and other, you know, all those schools, I mean, hundreds of them in every nook and cranny of the nation that you've got to have all come together. Otherwise, and we've heard a couple of these schools say in the last week, we're going to have class, we're proceeding as usual for the fall. Well, that's great for the for two of them. What about the other? You know, if you don't have every school in every state and with students, how are you going to have athletes there? And if you don't have athletes there, how are you going to have football there? And if some places can't play, how are the other guys that could possibly play and intend to play, how are they going to play? That is, and that has to be known soon because, look, I've got a kid that's been home from college during this whole thing that came home early and never went back. And it's, there's kind of no word with that, what's going on in the fall, but they've got to know, you know, by this next month coming up in May, that those that ball starts to have to roll for kids to be registered and get room and all that stuff to get them back on campus. And that's going to, that's still a huge unknown. So I don't know. So, but all that stuff happening back to pro football, what happens then? If there be a, what, and here's the other thing, the great unknown scenario. What if there are no college football and no NFL? They would still have a draft,
the
I'm guessing,
the world
next year. And
spinning.
I'm getting way, way, way ahead. But
it's a lot of drinking.
How would they draft? Would Cincinnati get the number one pick again? The Redskins number two? I'd be fine with that. So you end up with
Take guys
you've
never seen play.
You'd have to go by
combine
scores.
But they have seen them play. That's the thing.
They have.
Now,
I know.
There was the Joe Burrow thing where really in 1 year he went from, kind of a mid-round guy to the number one overall. But for the most part, these guys, they kind of know. And you have to base it off of what's going on. So there's so much that we haven't answered yet that there's not going to be any, definitive answers for a while now. And it's just kind of where we are day by day, minute by minute. And
well,
it's bizarre. And, now we spent, basically, thank goodness for the draft, though, because it's given everybody something to talk about. And now for the next week, it's kind of about the NFL schedule, which is supposedly still coming out. Then after that, now what? Then it's
baseball in Arizona.
And hopefully some of these sports, and maybe golf included in that, start getting ramped up, and we'll get back to at least some kind of live action, maybe in a little more than a month or so.
What about the fitness? What about the training for the NFL players and the college players? I mean, injuries. I mean, if you don't have a training camp, what do you do? I mean, obviously you're going to be in the weight room and you're going to be training. You have to get your body in
shape
to go out there.
Yeah, but
do
I think
that.
They have to have some kind of a – you got to have some – training camp. I mean, even if you push the season back, you can't just ask NFL players to show up August 31st, September 10th, whatever the date is, and say, okay, guys, let's start playing. Here's a game. So you got to do something, even if it's going to be shortened, which won't bother a lot of people because a lot of people have complained training camp's too long, too
pre-season.
Many preseason games that don't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. They're going to get down to two preseason games anyway. So that part, I think they'll just, if they have to, they'll move it back. But we'll see. I mean, I think, the slowly that we're seeing now, and remember, we're not even in May yet. So you're talking all of May, all of June, even into July. That's 3 months, full months, that if things go well and there isn't coronavirus doesn't come back in full force, whatever, then teams could go in, sometime July or August, I think, have a abbreviated training camp, talking about the NFL, and get back to action. And I think as far as the colleges go, again, that's 3 months away from them even starting school. I think, if people are already talking about going back into restaurant businesses and all the other salons and things that have been closed in three more months, that's a long time. Remember, this all shut down, Frank, March 11th? And here we are in April. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, and we've come a long way. We went from complete almost hysteria of, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Everything's got to shut down. And in 6-7 weeks, we're kind of through a lot of it and on to, can we reopen? That's, so I think in 6 or 7 weeks from now, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, we're into the summertime. My feeling is that, the doctors and everybody have been on top of this and are doing more and more every day as they learn more about it. We're already learning the last couple of days. There's a new drug out there that everybody's excited about. Those are the things that I think give me optimism that life will get a little bit more normal, even though there might come back in the fall like flu does and everything else. If they can get a vaccine, then it kind of changes the world, right?
Yeah,
people are going to figure out how to do what they're doing. But I am curious, Earl, we're again talking with Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio and out of Washington, D.C., and been working at a station that covered and been the home of the Redskins for a long, long time. But back to Frank's favorite team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which we just learned about, too. That's an exclusive that we just broke that Frank's been following them for years and years. John McKay days.
Hey, I love John
What do you
McKay.
Think about Tampa Bay? What do you think about Brady showing up in Tampa Bay? Are they now a legitimate Super Bowl contending team?
Now, let's go back. You were asking me before this whole thing, like for months, about Brady, right? And I kept saying, I think there's something to it. I think there's something to it.
Yeah.
And we found out, man, was there something to it? Look, with Brady, and as someone put it well, and I can't remember the analyst online. It was one of the former football players who said when that whole thing went down that Brady – Oh, it was when Brady signed and then Brady signed there and then Gronk. It was when the Gronk thing went down and everybody's kind of shocked. Like, wow, he's back and now he's playing in Tampa. One of the players put it very well. He said, Gronk didn't retire from the NFL a year ago. He retired from Bill Belichick.
That's right.
It's a weird. So, and that's kind of, I mean, that's really seems what Brady has done too.
Wasn't that Boomer Esiason that said that?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And One of the points I was making on my show on Sunday when talking NFL, it's always here's an age old question. We're going to find out in DC this year, Tim. We're going to find out in Dallas this year. We're going to find out in Tampa. We're going to find out in New England. Is it the coach or is it the players?
That's a good point.
All right,
that's a
now
good point.
Is it Brady and Gronk or is it Belichick? Here, this whole massive change. We had a huge the entire front office, coaches, everything. Now it's Ron Rivera in charge. Basically the same players. Jack Del Rio, Ron Rivera. Down there in Dallas, it's always been Jason Garrett's holding that team back. They got the book. Well, now he's not there anymore. Same team, basically. We're going to find out, right, on all these situations. Is it the coach or is it the players? And I'm not sure there's an answer. My always feeling on it was there's never a right and wrong or black and white to it. So it shades of gray, but to me, it's always leaned more to, it's usually more about the players than the coaches. We're going to find out if they play in a lot of places. I'm not with Tampa. I don't know. It's, I have great faith in Brady and I'm one of those fanboys. I just think he's, I love Montana. He's one of the best ever. Brady's overtaken that now, doing what he's done. You never underestimate what he can do. But always these situations, and it happened with Cleveland being anointed the offseason champion a year ago when they made all those moves. Everybody thinks, well, that team's going to be great, and they're the ones to beat, and then they start playing, and 3 to 4 weeks in, you think, oh, that's not going to happen. So it's Tampa, man. It's the pride.
It is.
It's you don't know, and all everybody wants to. It's Denny Green. You want to crown him? Well, let's not crown him too quickly, right?
There is not a more fun stadium to go to a game, an NFL game especially, but any game, than Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. That is the most fun football experience I've had over all the years. Just going to that stadium. It's a blast.
And you went to Ole Miss. That's saying a lot.
Well, I take that back. NFL experience. Okay.
Okay. There's some fun going on in Oxford.
A good friend of ours here in Nashville is a golf instructor and used to be one of the hosts on this show. Teaches Eddie George. And he and Eddie were together when Eddie's phone went off this past week. And it was the president of Ohio State with the athletic director. And he was privy to a conversation that went on between them, and that's where I bring up the fact that all of these other schools live and die by their football programs. Not all of the other schools.
Sure.
A lot of the smaller schools do. What's going to happen to them with zero revenue coming in?
Well, they fund the women's soccer team and tennis teams and all the other things, rowing and everything.
Well, they were
going
to defund golf and everything else just to hang on to football. Yeah. I mean, that's still probably up in the air, I would think. But anyway, I'm looking forward to getting something on TV besides replays. Okay, I'm tired of watching old golf tournaments. I mean, of course, over the past 10, 12 years, that's all we've done is golf tournaments every week. But old football games, no fun.
So, Frank.
Yeah.
movies. There's other things to watch. There's always, there's Tiger King on Netflix, right?
If you want to lose brain cells really quickly.
God. I have to admit, that was one of my early quarantine watches with everybody around here wanted to watch it. I normally don't watch those, but what else was I doing?
Ozark. And I watched
it
the
is the epitome of a train wreck.
Three seasons of Ozark.
Movies. And I tell you, and I'm a movie guy anyway, but watching a lot. Yeah. And one I haven't seen, and I did get to see within the last 2 weeks, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, what a great flick.
I'm a Tarantino mark, and I tell you, and so many people were so disappointed with that movie.
I
loved that movie.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved DiCaprio, Brett. It was a great-looking movie. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. We were thinking about doing movie reviews, but Steve Johnson, who is Hank Haney's managing partner on the show last week, pointed out to me very quickly, he said, Frank, you can't do movie reviews of the kind of movies I think you're probably watching at home by yourself. And I said, that is not
we
true.
We could try. We could try.
How did you get my IP address?
Yeah, seriously. Well, Earl, we do appreciate your time as always, and we know that even though you're at home, you're still busy doing what you got to do and getting to it. We always love the insight as well, not only from the PGA Tour, but also certainly with other sports that are happening and society in general. We always tap into the genius of Earl Forsey. And again, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again real soon, hopefully before Colonial gears up again, but we'll get some more insight into what you're thinking at the time. Is that all right?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that this thing continues in the right track and that, you know, by next month, we're kind of starting getting back to playing golf again and getting back to normal a little bit more. To normal in sports again, hopefully.
Absolutely. Stay safe and healthy, my friend, for sure.
All right.
You and your
family. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks,
take care. Earl. Again, that's Earl Forsey, PJ Tour Radio. And he works in D.C. at The Fan and has been there for years and years. So that's why he's so plugged in to the Redskins and everything that's going on with the Nationals, whatever season it might be, with D.C. sports. So, yeah, kind of interesting to hear what he has to say. And again, we're looking forward to Colonial being the tournament, the next event that we have on the PGA Tour. I keep thinking I didn't have a chance to ask him, but I wanted to ask Earl about because I still look, Frank, at the Open Championship, right, at Royal St. George this year, the British Open. That has already been canceled. Was canceled weeks ago, and so not postponed, not pushed back like the Masters or the U.S. Open. It's different. It's a major. It is the oldest major. It transcends a lot of other events on the PGA Tour. So I could see where some other tournaments were canceled that are, not to diminish them, but just weekly stops on the PGA Tour. The British Open's a different animal. And I keep thinking, was it too premature, you know, for them to, we're talking about middle of July, and we're not even into May yet, that they had already canceled a major event in the sports world. Could they not have put that on? Could they not have waited and said, okay, let's kind of, because St. Jude's is going to be, at least it's on the schedule now, that's, 2 weeks after they're going to have that one, the 3M WGC. Open, which is in Minnesota. That's still on, which is the week after the Open Championship. So,
well, is it getting everybody?
Nothing else is being canceled around there.
Was it not getting everybody in and out from all over the world, in and out of the UK for that tournament?
Part of it might have been that and the unforeseen, but it just seemed like a quick pull of the plug on that one, because as I said, you're at the last tournament that was being played.
Well,
that was March 11th. And so if you look at a calendar,
policy. They had an insurance policy.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, so far as money goes, they'll make their money. I mean, it's fine. But I'm just saying, you know, if you're a golfer, that's one of your premier events that you could play is a British Open. I mean, that's one that everybody and their brother wants to play in. So it's not just another tournament. March 11th, the world was so much different. We're only seven, eight weeks away from that memorial. I mean, from the tournament at the Players Championship, Frank. So while it seems like it's been 2 years ago,
God, it does.
It actually hasn't been that long.
It seems like forever. I mean, being stuck,
doesn't it? Yeah. But the roller coaster we've been on, the ups and downs, and now seemingly a little bit more on the upswing of fewer cases, and maybe there's a drug that's going to help, and all the other things has happened in a less than 2 month. Period.
Yeah.
It just comes back to me and say, "Wow, boy, they canceled a major event."
Well,
and I think sooner than they needed to. Now, if it came to where you still had to do it, I get it. But boy, because they did that, it seems to me 2 weeks into this whole thing, and said, okay, we're not going to do it. Like,
well, we all thought that about the Players' Championship, too. Like, what? What are you doing? But
and yeah. I think that was a bit of the – because nobody knew at the time, remember, and everybody was canceling. NBA was canceled, everything. And I get Jay Monahan and everybody saying we had to do it. I mean, we just
he was on the
maybe
phone.
We didn't think we needed to, but we kind of had to because everybody was doing it.
I had an opportunity to speak with him before I got out of there. He was on the phone with the President of the United States on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. You
want to err on the side of caution in those kind of situations and when people's lives are on the line. I get that, and I don't blame any of that. And I don't, you know, we'll get by. Life will always... Sports is sports, and it's always been what it is, which is a great respite from the real world, and it's a nice little oasis to get away from some of the
crap
BS that a lot of people have to deal with on a regular basis. I get it, but it's not life and death, and so to cancel the British Open is not the end of the world, but just in the context of what we're talking about, I'm thinking and saying, well, will there be an NFL season, and will there be college football? I don't know how there wouldn't be. I really don't. It's so far down the road of where we've come in 7 weeks.
Well, here's the key. Here's the key, though.
We'd have to go so much backwards again in the next 2 months that it would have to cancel those kind of sports.
The social distancing is, I think, critical. I mean, I really do. The hygiene is so vitally important, and this is a good lesson for us. The key is just that. It's the social distancing, the hygiene. If we can, as they say, flatten the curve, if we can start going in reverse instead of 300 miles an hour forward, as we have been, then, yeah, I can see it. If we have – now we're opening up right now, so we're on the precipice of what could be a wonderful time going forward for us or a major league crisis. To shut this country down again, to have to shut everything down like they did before, God, it's total decimation, I would think. I mean, it just – our economy can't handle it. We just can't. We have 30 million people out of work, okay? A lot of those people bought tickets to those games. I mean, there are a lot of cancellations, and I have an in at the Titans, a friend who's in there, and was telling me about, like, season ticket holders renewals and things. They're just falling out of the bottom. Just people are panicking.
Yeah.
So it's sad. It's frightening. As frightening can be. I mean, it's you say it's not life or death, but it is life or death. You know, this is a vicious, vicious virus. COVID-19 that is 3 to 5 times more transmissible than the common flu. One person, as we talked about in a previous show, infects how many?
Yeah.
Infects how many? Yeah, a penny a day. Remember the old penny, 2 pennies, 4 pennies?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It adds up fast. It does. So.
Yeah, it does.
But good to all the people, and our hats off and gratitude to all the frontline people, the doctors and nurses and everybody that's been helping and scientists that have been working and pharmaceutical companies don't normally get a lot of credit for anything other than possibly
price gouging,
making a lot of money. But they've obviously been working very hard to try to find a cure for this. And maybe it's motivated by money, but still the fact that we're getting drugs, I think, and testing more and more drugs to get to the bottom of this. Our gratitude is certainly there for all those people that have done what they can. I think as long as we can have some light at the end of the tunnel, you know, hope is what they say in the Shawshank Redemption might be the best thing. And there is hope that we're getting better and healthier and figuring all this out. So anyway, just hang in there, everybody. It's getting, I think, a little bit better. And even though if you live in Nashville, your property taxes are going to go up a lot.
32%,
there's still reason to be optimistic.
Jeez,
All right, wonderful, I think we covered everything, Mr.
Magoo. He's a great guy, you know.
Yeah.
I think we have covered everything. Hey, stay safe, my friend. Stay healthy, you and your family.
You too. Yeah.
And all our friends in Dallas.
Get out there, play some golf if you can, and support businesses if you can too. If you can get out there and support your businesses that are in your neck of the woods, wherever you happen to be listening to the show, they need your help. They need your support. Do what you can for them, okay? That should do it. Thank you to Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio for being with us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks so much for listening. And join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.